You are now listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Listen live as we discuss the Punch TV Studios IPO 2.0, funding for your film, acting in film and television, new affiliate stations, and all things Punch TV Studios. Meet the stars of your favorite Punch TV Studios film and television shows and find out how you can be a part of the company that is revolutionizing media. Call 657-383-1974 and join in on the conversation. And now your host, Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins. I am your co-host, Sharifa Hardy, and we have yet another exciting episode for you today. I hope everyone had a wonderful 4th of July holiday. It's time to get back to work and focus on what Punch TV Studios does best, and that's making magic and making movies. So before we get started with today's guest, we are going to stop for a brief commercial break.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the actors group at Nabuki.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabuki?
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in. And we now have our special host, I guess we're going with today, our host, Punch TV Studios CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins. How are you doing this morning, Mr. Collins?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing pretty good. Just working like crazy this first day back, counting down to the launch of the new TV studio covering all of Southern California. So, man, I can't even begin to tell you what that's like. So I hope everybody is ready for it and getting ready to make this thing happen and come together and all those great things. Other than that, just traveling across country trying to make this thing happen. Getting ready to issue another 1,000 stock certificates, which is awesome. And those things are always great and fine and dandy. And I'm just, by and large, I've been on the road, and I think I'm just kind of ready to get off of the road now.
And I know how that is. Sometimes you just want to get back home.
Just especially with everything that we have going on right now.
I just can't wait to get back. Fantastic. So what are some
what
of the
about
updates?
You? What's happening
with you? A lot going on, just busy, 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 trying to make everything happen all at once. A lot of exciting things going on at Punch TV Studios. That's my primary focus.
What's going on?
We have a new television station. We're down to the last few days of launching this station. Everybody's excited, running around.
Are they running around? Because, I mean, I've been on the road. I don't know what they're doing down there. I thought they was having a party in the Punch TV studio offices. I didn't know they were running around trying to get it together.
You ain't heard it from me. They working here, hard at work here at Punch TV Studios. While
the
CEO is away.
That's phenomenal. That's great. That's great. So who's on the punch line? Who's in the punch ball today?
We have some wonderful guests today tuning in. Our first guest is Jimmy Tomczyk. He lives to design, inspire, and connect. He's a founder, inventor, and author.
Her name is what? Say her name one more time.
Jimmy Tomczyk.
Are you saying Jimmy Convict? Are you saying Jimmy Konzak? What you saying?
We have Jimmy on the line. Jimmy, pronounce your name for us. I don't want to mess it up.
Hey, thanks for having me. My name's Jimmy Tomczyk. It's almost like having two last names, but it's Polish. So if you're Polish, you can say Tomczyk.
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 Anyway, if you Google that name, if you Google that name, you'll hear all about everything I'm doing. So just say it like it sounds and type it out if you're listening from home. But yeah, thanks for having me, you guys.
Well, tell us about what you do.
Welcome.
I guess I wish you, thank you. You're welcome to be on the show. Tell us about what you do and how you do it.
And your TED Talk.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your TED Talk.
Absolutely. So right now, I have a book. It's called Lakeside and Todd. It kind of embodies the last 5 years of my adventures in business and life and art and all these things. So what I'm really trying to do is help people self-actualize and do the things that matter most with the people that matter most.
Wow. I think I need
and
to
how
do,
do you
that.
Do that?
I need to do the things that matter most with the people that matter most.
Yeah, that's a great question. So really, I think life is about some of the great questions that we can ask ourselves. And really, the book is kind of designed, you don't have to read it cover to cover or anything like that. You can just open it to any page and get a question you can ask yourself in that moment to help you step into a deeper sense of presence and peace in the moment.
As opposed to stress and worry.
Have you ever watched a TV station in Southern California? You know what that's like? How would I step into
tell me about it. Tell me about
peace? How would I step into a deeper sense of peace launching a TV station? Having to fill 24 hours of programming, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And to do this in less than 25 days now. You want to talk about
I get it.
Stress. What page could I turn to in your book that's going to help me relieve my stress? Or is your book like the Bible? You just turn to the Bible and say, something in the Bible.
That's a good book too, right? anyway, first of all, pat yourself on the back. Give yourself a little bit of self-love and say you're doing a great job, because doing that 7 days a week grind nonstop, I know what that's like. And actually, this book was a call to action to sort of pause and realize what's important in life. Because I'm sure everybody's heard of the regrets of the dying, right? You know, people are on their deathbed and there's this list of like, oh, I wish I spent more time with family, or oh, I wish, you know, I did this, or lived a life true to myself, or all these different things. These are things that dying people have said, which is easy, you know, it's easy to do because it's your last days. But what's difficult is to realize that you have a limited number of days left and to truly do what matters. And so if your show or your things that you're doing are what matters, then maybe the stress is okay because you find the highest sense of your best use of your time to do that, to inspire people, to uplift them, to share the news that people need to hear right in that moment. And if that's not the case, then, you know, you can ask yourself questions that will slowly begin to tease apart whatever else could be happening in your life, or how else you could begin to serve. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes
perfect
sense. That makes awesome sense. That makes awesome
yeah.
sense. So, see, I told you, Sharif, it was okay for me to be stressed out right now.
No, it's not okay. It's not okay. We just need you to breathe.
You can't
through
be calm
the
and cool all the time. You can't be calm and cool all the time.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. We're going to explain that
you
to the Dalai Lama. So, yes. Yes.
All the
yes,
time.
You can. Okay.
See, the Dalai Lama, he's never launched a TV station covering all of Southern California.
So his job
million
is easy,
homes
by the way.
On every platform. So I don't know if the Dalai Lama could relate to the pain
what you're
and
going
the pressures of what we're going through. You know, I'm not sure the Dalai Lama could relate to, you know, thousands of shareholders screaming at your door. I'm not sure that they can relate to that, but I am glad to know about is that there's a book out that can help you relate. That's great.
So maybe we might ask Mr. Tomczak what he thinks about that and you being stressed. Is this something that you experience, people who say that their jobs are so difficult that there's no way they cannot be stressed?
I don't believe that. I believe that there are
people
that are deeply stressed, that it affects them to a point of where it actually damages their health, where their health or their wellness is affected by their levels of stress, and not just stress one time, you know, like, ooh, like, you know, that's hot and then you step away from it. No, it's chronic stress, the kind that you bathe in and celebrate, because now we can celebrate that I have more stress than you. I win. I get the bigger stress trophy. But that's not
exactly
a real reason to celebrate, right? Because there's plenty of people out there that are successful or that are serving people at their highest and best capability that aren't doing it at the detriment of their health. Because if they're suffering
in an unwell
sort of way, then is it really worth it in the end? And, you know, maybe a temporary sprint where you're trying to get a goal done and, you know, you committed to the excellence of doing one thing that matters, and you're going to have it done by this day and it's going to have this result and you're going to do it no matter what. But why, you know, that's okay maybe once in a while, but why do that every time, all the time, to the point where you can barely recover from it? But the point is that you can recover from it, and everyone is, if they choose to walk in this direction versus that direction. And navigating those directions, even being aware or even having a compass, a metaphorical compass, if you really want to talk about it, I think that's a little bit of what my book provides, right? Because it's called Lakeside and Tide, right? And Lakeside and Tide, you step into this sense of the cyclic flows of life, right? The abundance in both the highs and the lows. Because for the longest time, I was that stressed out person chasing the next high and being very scared of the next low. And I'm not just talking about, you know, you've heard the entrepreneurial roller coaster, right? The journey.
Absolutely.
And that's people love that, right? And that's the thrill and the high and the exhilaration. But that roller coaster by default and by definition has a low point, equally low as it is high. And that's kind of the thesis of the book, saying that if you just embrace both of those equally, the good times and the not so great times, you can truly live your best life now. I gave a TED talk on that subject just a few months back, and the reception has been great. And people have, I mean, you can read the reviews on Amazon. It hit top 100 on Kindle and number one in its category, self-help, number one in self-help, number one in motivation, and number one in journaling, right? Because if you ask about a very tangible thing to do when you're stressed, or when you need to focus, or when you need to, you know, something's not right, I don't know what it is, how do you gain the clarity to even figure it out? And one way is journaling. And that's why my book hit number one in journaling, because you can just pick it up, flip it open to any page. This takes a minute, not, you know, a day or a month or however long it takes somebody to read a book. It takes a minute to open it up, read the one page that has the one question that might be a prompt for you to open a notebook and write some sentences down, just stream of thought, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, and what you can do from that result. It doesn't have to be deeply meaningful. It can just be like, wow, I'm really grateful for this lunch today. It's the best lunch I've had, you know, this week. Awesome. That's a start.
Okay, so basically what you're saying and what I'm hearing is that Mr. Collins needs to start journaling. That's where we're at right now?
That's one thing, but he doesn't need a journal if journaling's not his thing. There's plenty of other things. Just realize that if you find
we have to get him relaxed. We have to find his thing. That's what we're working on right now. We have to get him. We have to get you something.
I'm like a relaxed, stressed out guy. I'm like a relaxed, stressed out guy. So, you know, I'm very relaxed. I don't let nothing shake me that bad, too bad like that, you know. So. But I'm very relaxed. I'm just an intense, relaxed, stressed out guy.
Where do you feel most alive? Where do you feel most alive?
Wow.
What are you doing?
I have a
what
lot
are you
of
doing?
Places where I feel most alive, actually.
What are you doing when you feel most alive?
What am I doing when I feel most alive? I feel ready to put on the spot here. What am I doing when I feel most alive? I'm being creative. I'm, like, editing something or pulling something together or just different things. I don't have, like, one thing that I do where it makes me feel most alive. I have several different things that just make me feel most alive.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, you don't need a list of them. You can just have one. And it could be different for everybody. In fact, it probably is. It doesn't need to be a good thing or a bad thing or a vice or not. You know, it can just be something where you just truly feel alive. There's no right or wrong answer, and that's the best part. And if you start doing more of those things, you'll find that you'll be naturally less stressed out. Your body will feel more comfortable and in a state of, you know, harmony. And this isn't like wishy-washy. There's a lot of science and research behind all of these things. My background was actually neuroscience at the University of Michigan. I was going to go to med school, but instead I started a company and took that from crazy idea all the way to being selected to appear and tape for an episode of Shark Tank, and later traveled the world and met a lot of amazing people pretty much all over, Southeast Asia, Bangkok, Bali, Mexico, California, New York, yeah, just back and forth. And in these places I went, I personally would journal, and I would write down notes and different things on the different people I talked to. And these scraps and snippets of learning are what became the basis of this book. And so, you know, I'm a big promoter and believer of anything that people can do to help them grow and be their best self. It's not about being famous or making a fortune or whatever, but how can you be your best self? And then in your place of highest abundance for you, how can you use that to help other people find that as well? It's kind of my life thing right now.
Well, that's amazing. That's what we're doing here at Punch TV Studios. We're creating thousands of jobs and generational wealth. So everything that we're doing is about helping other people.
Yeah, and
absolutely.
I get a lot of satisfaction out of that. I get a lot of satisfaction out of that. I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, I just can't really point to one thing. I just really can't. There's really one, so many things that I enjoy that I could get a lot of joy out of. I think spending time with my grandkids is pretty awesome. I get a lot of joy out of that. And
there you go.
These are just quite a few things I just get a lot of joy out of, really. So now, how do people get your book?
Sure, so it's available on Amazon. If you Google my name, which is Jimmy Tomczak, and type Lakeside and Tide, it'll pop up either as Amazon or Goodreads or on my website. Which is just my name.com, so JimmyTomczak.com. And again, for listeners, if you just open a browser and type in Jimmy Tomczak like it sounds, it'll pop up and you can hear about the different media features that I've had from being an Entrepreneur Magazine to, you know, featured as a Crane Detroit Business 20 in their 20s honoree and kind of learn a little bit more about my story, because personally, when I was starting my business, I would always look to the different people doing different things that inspired me. And even if I couldn't meet them personally, I'd look at what resources they had online, from free blogs to free, you know, PDF downloads of worksheets that you could do to kind of do all these different learnings of, you know, how you can grow as an individual and then how you can grow your business and then how you can help other people grow their businesses. It's really cool once you start on that path. And I just love helping anybody do that. So, for anybody listening, if you have any questions, anytime, feel free to reach out. My contact information is on my page. So thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Very welcome. Thank you for joining us here in the Punch Bowl.
And good luck with all you guys have going on. I wish you luck.
Thank you. You should post your book and your information about your book on our website, Nabuki. NABUKIE.com. And we'd love to help you promote it and help it become a million seller. Or, I don't know, can you go platinum with books? So then whatever you got with books, we'd like to help you sell a million copies of it.
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm actually recording the audiobook right now, so I hope that when that launches, people get really excited about it. I'm personally doing the entire voice recording, so if you found it interesting to hear me on the show, consider checking out the audiobook in the future.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. So thank you for joining us here in the Punch Bowl, and we're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back after these important messages.
As a filmmaker, you're brimming with ideas. But do you need help bringing your ideas to life? That's where Punch TV Studios comes in. We offer independent filmmakers a place to call home, as well as practical help, advice, resources, support, and most importantly, funding. Join the filmmakers group at Nabuki.com and network with industry professionals. Do you, Nabuki?
CEO Joseph Collins and Punch TV Studios have been broadcasting for the last 8 years, and for the last 2 years, Punch TV Studios has been producing TV shows and movies for license to major studios and TV networks all over the world. You can purchase your IPO stocks today for only $1 per share as they near their fourth quarter deadline. You could be a part of history as Punch TV Studios vies to be the first African-American owned company on the New York Stock Exchange. Join the Punch TV movement and be part owner for only $1 per share. That's $1 per share. Don't delay, because there is a limited amount of stock for a limited amount of time. So call them today at 310-419-5914. 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. For more information, you can visit them online at punchtvstudios.com. That's punchtvstudios.com.
So let me tell you what I decided I would try, because last week we had so many people on doing the whole food thing, eating the nuts and all the stuff like that, right? So
right.
On this trip, I decided that I was going to eat fruit and nuts and just see if it makes a difference. So I've been doing fruits and nuts and green things, and red things, vegetables and green things, and smoothing it out. And it has been really awesome. And I want to recommend that to everybody. You need to get yourself a fresh smoothie, not from McDonald's. You need to get you some fresh strawberries, some fresh grapes, some fresh bananas, and a little ice, and some fresh things, and blend them all up together and drink it. And it just absolutely makes you feel refreshed. But what is, have you tried anything like that?
I love smoothies. I mean, you know, smoothies are my thing. Ever since I moved, I've been having my daily strawberry banana smoothie, and I've been trying to drink more water and change. So definitely, those are something I enjoy.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. So do you make your own smoothies, or do you go, where do you get your smoothie from? Do you make them from scratch?
No, I make them from scratch. Actually, I do. I enjoy
it. Nice, nice, nice.
I mean, it makes it
very
fresh.
Nice.
A little yogurt in there.
We're turning the tide. We're turning the tide. We're turning the tide.
I know. I know. Because my thing used to be soda, you know, Dr. Pepper. I was a Dr. Pepper person.
Oh,
so now
Dr.
for me to
Pepper.
Make a smoothie, put some strawberries, a little yogurt. Now I've actually been adding protein powder. So I'm working on, you know, changing my evil ways.
Well, you know, you can get protein from a lot of vegetables and stuff. You don't have to necessarily add the protein powder. And then you want to stay away from as much manufactured, what do they call it, processed foods as you possibly can, because it's actually the processed foods that is the core cause of diabetes. And it's a shame that so many children now have type 2 diabetes, and that's not something, and a lot of it has to do with the foods that we're eating and all of the junk processed food, even though they have labels on it that says it's healthy, it's really junk. So we're going to throw the junk out and get the junk out the Punch Bowl. And who else is in the Punch Bowl right now?
We have the honor of having Ms. Leah Dye in the Punch Bowl this morning. She is an intuitive transpersonal healer, spiritual teacher, professional speaker, and media personality. Are you with us this morning, Ms. Guy?
I'm right here.
Thank you for joining us.
What's your name again?
I'm sorry?
What's your name again?
Leah Guy. I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Leah.
I'm sorry. Leah, uh-huh.
I'm traveling across the country. I'm sorry about that, Leah. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that, Leah. I promise you. All my life, I had to fight. So what brings you to the Punch Bowl today, Leah? Tell us about what you're doing, what you're working on.
Well, I, too, I have a recently released book called The Fearless Path. I also do media work and have for many years, pretty much in the health and wellness industry or sector anyway, but I did have a celebrity talk show for a while. So I'm kind of diverse in my work, but it's all focused on positive living, health, and healing more and more so. And that's what I do now. I have a healing center in Jersey City, New Jersey. I work with clients. I'm a motivational speaker. And then I just put out this new book, The Fearless Path. So that's what I'm up to.
Nice. Now, what's the healing center? What do you do at the...
Can you ask the question again? I'm having a really hard time hearing you. I can hear the female host perfectly, but I can't make out what you're saying.
I was saying, what do you do at a healing center?
Oh, okay. Well, we do. We have private sessions available. I see clients. We also offer massage, Reiki, reflexology. I teach meditation once a week. We have a store. We make our own products here, body care products and different gift items. And we have workshops as well, you know, relationship workshops, spiritual workshops, even do art gallery nights. You know, just we're kind of just involved in the community in a lot of ways.
And how did you get your start in this area?
How did I get my start? Well, I come at it, you know, like a lot of people from the school of hard knocks. I went through a lot of trauma when I was younger. I had a sexual assault. My parents were divorced. My aunt was murdered. I had an eating disorder. I, you know, became addicted to alcohol and other things. And after the rape, I wasn't okay. You know, I mean, I was okay. I was functioning.
Oh, wow.
Anyone who looked at me thought, you know, oh, here's a beautiful young woman on her way. But inside, I was dying, and I needed help. So I found a school in California, and it was a school for energy healing, meditation, spiritual growth, that kind of thing. And I went there to teach, you know, to learn, but also to heal. And as that started happening, that's what kind of led me on the path to become a helper and healer and inspiration for other people. But, you know, it didn't happen overnight. It's not like I just graduated from school and then went, oh, I'm here I am. It was a long journey. And but I was committed to my spirit, and I was committed to my body and getting myself healthy again. So luckily I had that commitment and that fortitude. But so that's kind of how I got started. And then I started working in a health food store. Then I started, you know, I was a massage therapist. And then I started integrating the energy healing work. I started integrating media, becoming the guest on talk shows about supplements and nutrition and wellness. And then it kind of, you know, over the years, over the past 20 years or so, it's kind of morphed more into the spiritual side, the emotional and the spiritual work. And that's where I am now, and I really enjoy doing that work because, for me, it's all connected. You know, we talk about holistic health, but a lot of people aren't really practicing it because they don't know how to practice it. We don't know what emotional health is. We don't know what spiritual health is. People get very fixated on the physical and the mental. But this emotional and spiritual aspect, we really need to beef up our education and involvement, if you ask me.
No, I never thought about emotional health. What is emotional?
And actually, I do a lot of work with men because I think it's a very underserved market. There's a lot of emotional need with men. It's basically, you know, learning how to recognize and process and deal with our emotions, our feelings, which sounds to some people, you know, trite or like insignificant because we're all either emotional or non-emotional or emotions change so much. So what happens is just like mental health issues, emotional health issues are very similar, as in if you don't deal with something, or if you have an imbalance, or if you have a trauma or heartache or whatever, and we don't know what to do with it, it gets lodged, stuck, and compromise is our health. It creates stress. And so we know that stress causes disease, and we know that mental health is very important, but a lot of times the mental health is reading the emotional wellness of our being. Like, for example, I'll use my example because I've already said it, you know, the rape situation or a trauma like that. If it goes unattended to, the emotions of guilt, the emotions of shame, the emotions of embarrassment, sadness, you know, all of it that goes with it. Those are real, and they live in us.
When you were raped? How old were you?
I was a little older. I was 22. Yeah, I was a little older. But even, you know, for children
that
are getting...
Is it too much to ask, but how did that transpire?
How did it transpire? Actually, it was... How did it what? I'm sorry?
What were the circumstances in which that transpired?
Yeah. Actually, it was amongst a group of people that I knew, and it was a Halloween party, and I was there with coworkers and some people I didn't know, but one of my coworkers was actually throwing the party, and it happened not too long into the beginning of the night, a man whom I knew, who actually was one of my superiors at a very large company that I was working for, invited me to talk to me about something, and I thought it was work-related. And the next thing I know, we're in the middle of the woods down in Alabama, and he's got everything off of me and, you know, raping me in the middle of the woods where no one heard or saw us. Actually, one person heard me screaming, and then I just kind of left my body, which is not that unusual. You know, it's kind of like a blackout situation. And then after it happened, he left, I suppose. I don't know where he went, but I went screaming back to the house. And I was in a complete state of shock and trauma, and friends of mine took me to their apartment, and I slept there for 48 hours. I didn't wake up. And then I went to the the police precinct and gave them the evidence and did the testing and so forth. So it was that situation. So it kind of rocked not only my personal world, but I was in the middle of trying to finish college. You know, the work situation was volatile at the time. They offered me any job in the company, but I, of course, I didn't want to be there. I was terrified. They fired the guy that, you know, went through court and all that kind of thing. But eventually, in my weakness at the time, I just ended up having to leave. I moved from the state. I couldn't be there. I wasn't okay. You know, I was depressed. I was suicidal. I was emotional. I was just a wreck. And,
right, okay.
You know, yeah. And so, you know, that's one story. Not everyone has a story just like that. But in my book, I talk about post-traumatic emotional disorder. You know, we know about, but not everyone has a huge shocking event. You know, not everyone goes off to war or their house doesn't burn down or whatever. But all of us have something in our life, you know, that goes on that causes us an extreme amount of emotional stress. And that's like the crux.
Let me ask you a question, because I just got to know. I just want to know. So after this happened, it's definitely traumatic, definitely horrible. They arrested the guy, I'm assuming, right? He incarcerated, or was incarcerated. Did they incarcerate him, or did they let him go?
No, I think they ended up letting him go. I'm not sure exactly. My parents could tell you. I think that they ended up letting him go when I left the state.
Wow. And so how long ago was this for you? This has happened to you at 22. How long ago
was
that?
Yeah, so I'm 45 now. This was 23 years ago.
Okay. Oh, cool. All right, so let me ask you a question. And I just want to ask. After something like that happens to you, and you're with a partner now, and you're about to make love with your partner, what was that experience like?
Well, after something like that happens, I wasn't thinking about making love to anything or anyone. If there was any sex involved, it was either retaliatory sex, it was shame sex, it was proving sex. It was, you know, it was for some other reason besides love, I can assure you, you know. And, I think what happens for most people is either they shut down or they kind of become promiscuous. And I kind of became promiscuous, not overly so. I wasn't just out, you know, with anybody, but I could not relegate my emotions whatsoever to have any kind of discernment about, you know, good, bad, love, you know, anything. So it really becomes just about, you know, somebody make me okay again, or, you know, let me prove this to myself or prove this to you that somebody can care about me, that something, you know, that they're not going to hurt me. All that. So for me, going to those schools, in particular the body work school, the massage school, was probably the most healing thing for me, to learn how to let someone touch me and be around me safely, you know, without bad intention. But not everyone's going to go to massage school. But you can do some of the similar kind of practices, you know, with loved ones or with yourself or with even with friends and so forth. I mean, you know, I work with people here. And I've worked with hundreds of clients over the past 25 years or 22 years, I guess now. And I see, you know, that's what I mean. We hold a lot of that emotional trauma in our bodies, in our psyche, in our spirit. And whether it's when you go to touch them, or whether it's when you start to fall in love with them, or whether it's you have an argument, or whatever the triggers are for the person, it causes them to, you know, to kind of revert back into these situations, and that's that PTED that we need to give more attention to. You know how? Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
So that's part
what
of you know people.
What an amazing survival story. And now, when did it turn? How many years or how long did it take for you to turn?
It was really a process. Yeah, it was probably a process of like 3 to 5 years. I went through, you know, therapy. I took the drugs, antidepressants. You know, I did all that stuff. But even through it, where I'm really proud of myself is I ended up finishing college, you know, in another state and getting myself kind of together. But, you know, I also made some really bad decisions. I got married and I loved the guy, but I couldn't function. You know, I couldn't be in that. So we ended up getting an early divorce and, you know, I was running from myself for years. You know, I went out to LA, I came back, went back to LA, came back, went to San Francisco, came back, went to, you know, Nashville, left. I was just running all over the place trying to escape my pain until finally, like I said, when I found a path for me and help for me that was really, you know, doing something rather than just trying to shut down my system. You know, you can't shut down your brain and expect to heal. You can't shut, you know, can't turn off, you know, your resentment and just say, oh, I'm okay now. No, you gotta work with that stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it was
now
probably about 3 to 5
years.
You
said this, and I want to know, you said a lot of men haven't dealt with their emotional issues.
Yeah.
And you find that very prevalent. So how does that come to a point? How does that come about? Like,
well, there's a lot of men. Yeah. Well, here's how it shows up: anxiety, performance issues, sexually and/or at work, and extreme amount of shame, which often translates into weight and self-esteem issues. So men, as you know, probably. I mean, I don't know how you grew up. This isn't true for all men, but just as a society at large, you know, men aren't encouraged to express and emote their emotions. But also, men don't do it the same way as women. So we think men aren't as emotional. And just because they're not sitting around eating a gallon of ice cream and bonbons watching, you know, Sex and the City doesn't mean they're not emotional. They are emotional. They just show their emotions differently. Often sadness or fear comes out as anger. Sometimes they, you know, men shut down and just want to retreat and go into their man cave or go fishing or get away from everyone. They're processing in a completely different way. But what's happening is the amount of anxiety that's showing up in men, and I know because I have a door here open to all the public, and everyone thinks, oh, this is a place for women. And the truth is that I get 50, if not 60% of our customers and clients are men, and a lot of them are suffering with anxiety, insomnia, impotence, you know, just overall feelings of malaise. And it's because they have so much repressed emotions, embarrassment, feeling not good enough, you know, pressure. And now even more pressure as women are like, you know, get off my couch and do something or else I'm going to go do it better. You know, now women are trying to become men and their whole value system and their strength and everything is in question. And it causes a great identity crisis, which, you know, add that on top of the shame that you felt when you were 5 years old because you were fat or not smart enough or your hair hadn't grown in yet or, you know, you're too short, and now you've got a problem. So, you know, I have a lot of compassion for men, and I love working with men because there's a real vulnerability there. And, in fact, I think oftentimes men are more sensitive than women as far as their true nature and their emotional being.
Now, I've been trying to tell the truth of that for a long time, that men are more sensitive than women. I've been trying to have that conversation for a long time. And so far, it hasn't really. So now you're validating it from a woman's point of view.
There
men
you go.
Have feelings.
They do. A lot of feelings. And, in fact, even inside a relationship, they may not know how to show it as well or, you know, do the right things. But relationships for men are very important. You know, it's in their instinct. It's in their DNA, you know, of how to love, protect, and care for. Women, you know, get the big, you know, Mother's Day and we're the nurturers and we do everything. We multitask. You know, men may not be so great at multitasking, but they have a very strong sense of that ownership and love and loyalty. And not all men. Yes, people cheat. So do women. I mean, you know, all that's pretty much equally balanced. But, you know, a solid person and just in general, men are very emotionally engaged. They're just, you know, a lot of men don't know how what to do with it, you know, and that's an issue.
So I had a question.
I can agree with that.
How did you come to the conclusion that men are more sensitive than women? That actually was kind of interesting. How did you come to that conclusion?
Well, like I said, I've worked with
definitely more sensitive. Now, we're not going to be crying and stuff, but we're definitely more sensitive than women.
Yeah. I think, you know, women have this very kind of men are very task-oriented and like that whole, you know, go out, catch the dinner, bring it home, provide. They have that kind of instinct. And women are very take care of business and multitask and care and nurture and so forth. But as far as like the emotional barometer, if you will, I mean, this isn't true for everyone. But in general, after speaking with loads of, you know, women and men in private session, the sensitivity, how they are touched by love and emotion and so forth, they have a true sensitivity to it. Where I think women are kind of very externally, you know, women are always seeking, you know, like how they're chatty Cathy's, you know, sitting on the porch chatting with all their friends, that kind of thing, you know. And I'm the same way. I mean, I'm guilty as any other woman. Yesterday I was in grief and I called 15 people, you know, to try to help me out of it. Where a man, if he feels it, a man will feel it. But, you know, it's like a very personal kind of internal thing. And they feel it deeply. And because of that solace and that individual, you know, kind of, private experience, they're almost in touch with it more than someone like me that's, you know, got 15 phone calls going. Because at that point, I'm not that I don't feel it. I do feel it. And I am sensitive. I mean, I particularly am extremely sensitive. I'm an empath and, you know, an intuitive and everything. So I'm extremely sensitive. But how I deal with my emotions differently. It's kind of, you know, a different, like that external emoting. Whereas men don't do so much of that. They do a lot of internal contemplation.
You do a lot of internal.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, they think, they feel, they walk around. Yeah, and that carrying it, and that quietness, in that, you know, aloneness with it. It's just like meditation, if you will, you know, and I teach meditation and it's wonderful for everyone. It's that kind of experience that helps us to know ourselves better. And so I think that men, because of their nature of not to be running around, you know, telling all their gossip to everyone on the corner, they have a very kind of closer relationship to some of their emotions, which makes them more sensitive to it, but they're not talking about it. They're not, you know, they're not
That's
emoting
correct.
Like women
I agree
are.
With that.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to call your guy, like if you're all guys, by and large, you're going to have all guy friends. So if you have all guy friends, chances are you might have one person you might talk to. But he's going to give you
yeah.
an answer you don't really want to hear anyway. So you're like, why even talk to him? Because you're not going to get the right answer. You know, he's not going to say, well, man, you know, you should really try to stick it out. You should really try to, you know, work through it, you know, that kind of thing. He's going to be like, man, get rid of it, man. I tell you, we go out to the club and we get another one tonight.
Right. Yeah, and that's
you know,
what's hard. It's
like
you know,
that.
Yeah, so who do you talk to? You know, if you go talk to a woman friend, now you're infringing on, you know, having an emotional relationship
now
with someone
like,
that's
going to
upset
yeah,
your spouse, you know? So it's mm-hmm. that's why there's a need, I think, you know, for more emotional support for men, whether it's groups or individual, you know, therapy or what have you.
So what do we do for someone like Mr. Collins who is always on the go? He's always busy, pushing. He doesn't really have that much of a personal life and time for socializing, so he definitely doesn't have people that he can, you know, say, oh, my God, I'm doing this IPO. I really feel like crying right now. What do we do in those instances for those type of people?
You mean what does he do? Because there's nothing you can do.
Where are we? Mr. Collins and I are a we. So what do we do to fix him?
Where are we?
What do we do?
I mean, I guess the issue would be what's the problem? Like, are you having anxiety? Are you lonely? Are you unsatisfied? What issues are you having? Do you want a partnership
stressed.
That you don't have it?
No, just very stressed. Just very stressed in general. So maybe becoming more in touch with his sensitive side, his emotional side, will be able to help, you know, because, you know, he handles his business as far as the company. But on a personal side, who can he lean on? Who can he talk to?
Well, I mean, that's different
for
everyone.
I talk to Jesus.
Jesus. Okay, so Jesus is a great person to talk to. You know, there's a lot of ways to handle stress, and it's different for everyone. You know, that's the thing is, like, we can't make him more emotional. That's us trying to make him a woman. What we got to do
right.
is allow him to find his stress release, and sometimes that is work for a man, you know. Sometimes it's that enjoyment of getting something accomplished, and until they can see that through, it doesn't matter what they do. You know, they got to get the job done. So, but, you know, whether other ways, hiking, taking a walk, you know, going fishing, having a beer at the waterfront, you know, calling an old friend from college. Or, I mean, I know a lot of people still feel shame about talking to a therapist or whatever, and it can get expensive. But that's either anymore, there's really a lot of just kind of like coaches or talk therapists. And it's really good just to spend an hour and tell somebody what's going on, you know, even if that's as far as it gets. So you don't even have to get into, like, oh, I feel this, I feel that. Just here's what's going on. Have somebody listen and have, like, an hour of decompression. You know, that's really helpful. Of course, I recommend meditation, too. I don't meditate for, you know, 20 minutes every day. I'm not going to lie. But even to do it a couple times a week for, like, 10, 15 minutes or go to a class a week, or 5 minutes in the morning, or just today I did a meditation on Facebook. I do a free one, a 3-minute meditation for free every Wednesday. And today it was called Sit Down and Shut Up, because, you know, that's all sometimes we get in the mood to do. You can't, like, get, oh, I need to go get Zen, and I need to be, you know, get in the pose and get my clothes on and everything just right. No, just sit down, shut up, turn everything off, and take a couple minutes, you know. Just do that, and it's that simple. And it can help really reframe. Yeah, it's that simple. You know, notice your breath for 2 breaths. If that's all you can do, just shut your mouth and breathe through your nose. Notice your breath for a couple breaths. Be still. Be calm. And then you can get back to doing what you're doing, you know. And that helps. It really does help.
Okay, I just did it right now. I feel calm, cool, and collective. I feel great.
There you go.
You cannot meditate and talk on the radio at the same time.
Yeah, you can. Sure, you can.
No, you can't.
You need to be in the moment.
I meditated. I was in the moment.
That
she
is
said,
the moment. That's the thing. That's the problem. Everybody thinks it should be something different. I can do it right now. It's what it is.
Young man, yo. I just meditated. I'm good.
Well, where can we find out more about you, Ms. God? Your store. You have a store. You have the Modern Sage Healing Center and product line.
Yeah, so you can find all that at modernsage.com, just like it sounds, modernsage.com. My book, The Fearless Path, is on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Target, all those places, and then in stores at Barnes & Noble and, you know, specialty shops and so forth. So I hope you check it out. It's some helpful information. I also have a meditation CD on my website at modernsage.com. It kind of goes along with the book, but it's also independent. And so there's something right there he could do. So you buy him a CD, download a track for 7 minutes. He can sit and let me guide him through how to get grounded and anti-stress and anxiety.
I think we definitely are going to have to do that. We're going to have to check out that CD, get Mr. Collins doing some 3-minute, 7-minute meditation sessions, get him a little bit more relaxed. Because he is under a lot of pressure. I mean, being in the IPO phase, selling stock in the company at $1 per share. We launched in June of 2016. We're getting ready to sell out, finalize, and close out the IPO. So we just want to make sure that, I mean, we've spoken to so many different people who were focused on the health and nutrition. So we want to make sure that we attack everything from every perspective. You know, from the mind, the body, and the spirit. So definitely enjoy having you as a guest on today's show. And we can use some of your techniques. Again, we want everyone to visit your website at modernsage.com. We also, Ms. Guy, would love to invite you to add your book, add your CD to our social media network, Nabuki, Nabuki.com, NABUKIE.com. And Nabuki is where we do all of our socializing for Punch TV Studios. So all of our executives are on Punch TV Studios. When we're looking for new shows, new ideas, new scripts, new authors, new writers, new directors, producers, whatever we're looking for, we always start from Nabuki, since Nabuki is our team and our people. So we definitely wanted to invite you to be a part.
Thank you.
Oh, you are very welcome. If you are just now tuning in to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO, Mr. Joseph Collins, I am your co-host, Sharifa Hardy, and as always, we have yet another amazing show. You want to make sure if you're listening to the show in the archive that you catch us live. If you're listening to the show right now and you love to join the conversation, please feel free to press 1. So we like to know that you actually like to speak to the host. Remember, we're on Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Tune in tomorrow, Thursday, to see or listen to some more of our exciting guests.
Thank you for listening to Changing the Conversation with Punch TV Studios CEO Joseph Collins. Tune in Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time as we continue to change the conversation in contemporary media. To be a guest or to share your thoughts on changing the conversation, visit Nabuki.com today. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be a part of the company that's revolutionizing media. Visit PunchTVStudios.com to become a part owner at $1 per share.